It's puzzling. Americans like our privacy. I like my privacy. We pay companies to keep our identities a secret online. We use anonymous instead of our real names when we comment online. We intentionally omit personal details about ourselves on social media. We install passwords on our phones and our computers and Google and Twitter and Apple ID and every website we visit that asks for one. Did you know you can even buy a password manager to keep track of all those passwords? To remain off the grid, we pay cash instead of using credit cards. We don't like to reveal too much about ourselves at work or school or even with our closest family and friends. When I Googled protecting my privacy, there were 126 million hits. But here's the thing about this need for privacy. At the end of the day, don't we also desire to be seen, to be fully known, to be understood? Don't we want to be recognized as being smart or funny or talented or creative? I do. Don't we want someone to notice when we meet a goal or a tough deadline? Isn't it nice to have someone say, "You did a good job today. I'm proud of you." I do. But here's the thing about being fully known. How far are we willing to go to be so fully understood? Are we willing to let someone know about that time in our life that we're not proud of? You know the one I mean, the one that just came to mind for you. If we knew someone was aware of that, whatever that might be, mightn't we squirm a little bit, feel like our collar is getting a bit too tight, feel guilty or ashamed? Human beings are complicated creatures. We want our privacy, but we also want to be known and understood. Has anyone read the book or seen the movie, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by Douglas Adams? Has anybody read that? So there's this bit in the book and the movie where they find what looks like a weapon. But in reality, it gives the one holding it the ability to perceive what the other is thinking or feeling. It's like a perception ray gun. It doesn't kill, but it makes what the other is thinking or feeling fully known to the one holding the ray gun, which made for a pretty hilarious scene, I have to say. Being that vulnerable to another, having them know us so intimately, can be pretty uncomfortable. We might even want to protect ourselves from being that vulnerable. It's this endless circle of tension, wanting to protect our privacy and yet needing to be understood. One of my friends from seminary's favorite psalm was the psalm for today, Psalm 139. He said it gave him comfort to realize that God knew him from his very beginning, and even through his successes and failures. Having no secrets from God, he knew he could trust the love of God, knew that God loved him in spite of those things he was ashamed of. It was a comfort to him to realize that he didn't have to earn God's love, to prove himself worthy in God's eyes, for God was merciful and full of grace. As my friend described why this was his favorite psalm, I wondered if I felt the same, or if such knowledge actually made me uncomfortable. Because if God knew the real me, warts and all, even that time that I was ashamed of, did I really want that kind of being known? Reminded me of going to confession as a kid. If I only talked about some things, the things I'd get one Hail Mary for or one act of contrition for, the other things didn't count. They weren't seen. They weren't coming between God and me, which is silly. Thinking about Psalm 139 made me want to hide my face from God again, to carry the guilt and make a wall of it between God and me. And this is where God sending Jesus down to be born fully human helps tear down that wall of guilt that separates us from God. God didn't send Jesus down to be born among us so that God could experience what it was like to be human. God already knew what being human was like, knew what it meant to be formed in the womb, for God formed the inmost parts of each one of us. And this is an Old Testament understanding of God long before the time of Jesus. God sent Jesus to be born for us because God knew what it was like to be human, to live in the tension, the complexity, the confusing thoughts and questionable behaviors, the twists and turns of what it meant to be human. God searches us and knows us, can tell what we are thinking, is acquainted with all our ways. Even before we open our mouth to speak, God lays God's hand upon us, behind and before, what we've done and what we will do. Jesus was born for our benefit, not God's, and that gives us hope. Hope for a relationship with God that is built upon being known for who we are, not who we pretend to be. The psalmist's understanding of God is not one of fear and guilt, but of presence and grace. From preacher Beach Verhey in Feasting on the Word, God is at the farthest reaches of the universe and in the most secret depths of the human heart. God is the constant companion. Intricately woven in the depths of the earth, God's loving care is made manifest in the stardust of our very being. What a love. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries for tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a love. We are fully known in this love and make God known through our love in the many ministries led by many ministers, not just Jimmy Sue and I. In the words of Brother Paul from last week's sermon, all who labor in the vineyard of the Lord are ministers of God. God knows us and loves us beyond the furthest star, and in Jesus has renewed both the heavens and the earth. And I believe that it is through the power of the Holy Spirit that you and I have been drawn into God's life together here in this place. May all God's people say, Amen.